Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do thank you, Lord, for again giving us the opportunity to spend these 30 weeks studying your word, Lord. We thank you for what you have taught us through that process, and Lord, we pray that we'll continue right to the end here this morning. I pray that what I say here this morning will be what you want the folks to hear, and that you will give everyone here ears to hear what it is you want them to know from this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I do want to begin by commending each one of you for completing this study of the Gospel of Luke. You know, I hope that you will be able to share some of the blessings that you may have gotten through this study when we finish here today. But again, I do want to commend each and every one of you, because in studying God's Word, you have been doing what God really commands us to do. He commands every one of us to study His Word. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 2, verse 15, Paul says this. He says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." See, God tells us to do our best to be one who correctly handles the word of truth. It's sinful not to study God's word. We don't think about it that way a lot of the time, but it's true. Why is studying God's word so important to God? I think there's at least two very good reasons. The first is this. You know, it's the method by which we are going to be governed, and it's the method by which we're going to relate to one another throughout eternity. You know, everything else in the world is going to pass away, but God tells us that His word will not pass away. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but His word will not pass away. It'll continue on into eternity. The second reason is that God's word generates the faith that we need to acquire eternal life, to spend eternity with God. You know, in Romans, in chapter 10, verse 17, God says, you know, faith comes from hearing the message of Christ, and the message of Christ is heard through the word. Paul tells us that there, in that same chapter, that's why it is so important to preach the word, that faith comes from hearing the word of God. He does this through this series of rhetorical questions that many of you will probably remember. You know, he begins, you know, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one that they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? See, God's word generates faith, and so that's, of course, why it's so important that His word be preached. Well, in this week's lesson, we're going to learn three closely related truths about God's Word. I've divided it into three divisions, as you see on the whiteboard. The woman's faith is strengthened by remembering God's Word. And then number two, Jesus teaches the Emmaus disciples it's foolish to not know God's Word. And then finally, Jesus uses God's Word to open the disciples' minds. Let's talk about this first division a little bit here, verses 1 through 12. Well, chapter 24 opens by telling us how these women from Galilee that are actually described right at the end of last week's lesson get up early on Sunday morning and they go and they anoint Jesus' body. They do that to anoint Jesus' body, I should say. But when they get there, when they get to the tomb, they're shocked to find that it's empty. They're completely surprised. They're confused. The body's gone. It says, quote, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Well, we know later on in verse 23 that these are angels. And they tell the women that Jesus is not among the dead. And then they say He is risen. But you know, the angels didn't stop there. You know, they didn't stop. They went on explaining. I mean, they could have. They declared the message that Jesus had risen from the dead. But they apparently know that that by itself is not enough to convince the women that it is true. And so what do they do next? In verse 6, it says they go on. They say, "Remember how He told you while He was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Well, when the women heard the angels say that, you know, these things had to happen, and it says in verse 8, then they remembered His words. Can you imagine how comforting that would have been to these women? You know, remembering that Jesus had specifically said in advance that he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men, that he would be crucified by them, and then on the third day raised again. It says they remembered his words. You know, we cannot develop faith in the truth of God's word if we do not know what God's word says. We don't have anything to remember if we don't study God's word. The better that we know God's word, the more often we see how events occur in our daily lives that actually prove the truth of some part of God's word. You know, it may be as simple as seeing how messed up people's lives and their relationships can get when they act inconsistently with what we know to be God's word. It could be about something like sex or marriage or greed or covetousness or pride, for example. It was just like I was talking to a person this week, and we're visiting a little bit about this, and what brought it up was we'd heard about this lady who had this horrible relationship with a man that she had lived with. And as the story came out, she had moved in with another man after she lived with this fella. But she had actually done this 3 times in 4 years. And she wasn't seeing that, you know, these are actually like getting divorced 3 times in 4 years. You know, she wasn't formally getting married, but that's what she was actually doing. And from, you know, there's a reason that God tells us that, you know, to stay married except in very limited circumstances. This whole experience for her, or I should say about her, really confirmed for me what God's word says is true. You know, the more experiences that we have like that with God's word, the more that we do believe that it's true. You know, it strengthens our faith in the truth of it. Well, these women, they had 2 clear-cut experiences here with Jesus that helped confirm their faith in the truth of his words. You know, he said in advance that he would, number one, be delivered into the hands of sinful men. And that had happened. So they know that that was true. And secondly, Jesus said that those sinful men would cause him to be crucified. That was number 2. That was true. And so, since those 2 things were true, how about the 3rd statement that he said at the same time, that he would be raised on the 3rd day? And now the body is missing, and it's on the 3rd day. You know, so it's more likely than not that since the 1st 2 experiences turned out to be true, the 3rd one is as well. And so I think that's the way it works for a lot of us. So my principle is this, my 1st one. The more experience we have with God's word, the more faith we will have in the truth of it. The more experience we have with God's word, the more faith we'll have in it. Again, the more experience that we have with God's word, the more faith we will have in it, in the truth of it. The more experience we have with God's word, the more faith we'll have in it. Now, the women, I think, had 1 huge advantage. They had heard the word so that they could remember it. That's very important. You know, we must hear, we must learn God's word so that we can have something to remember when events occur that confirm its truth. We have to be able to apply God's word to what we see happening around us. So we see that studying God's word is not only a matter of obedience, it is how we develop strong faith. Excuse me, let's talk about the Emmaus disciples. In verses 13 to 45, we get Luke's account of the 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, he is the only gospel writer who really describes this event in detail. Mark mentions it briefly, but he's the only one that gives us the details. Again, we have the 2 disciples, distraught, they're anxious over the fact that Jesus has died, and they're confused about the reports of Jesus being alive. Then comes Jesus' response. He says, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken." Jesus then went on, and he explained what the Bible had said about the Messiah, and how he would have to suffer these things before he entered glory. So my 2nd principle is this. We are foolish and slow of heart to not know and believe God's word. We are foolish and slow of heart to not know and believe God's word. We're foolish and slow of heart to not know and believe God's word. You know, you think about how foolish it really is not to study and come to know God's word. Think what it does for us. You know, it gives us great insight into how to live our lives while we're here on this earth right now. You know, to avoid the kinds of things that lady ran into. It shows us what our purpose in living really is. You know, our life is meaningless on a long-term basis unless we do something with it that matters for eternity. And the only thing that we can do that matters for eternity, I'm going to have to quit using this, I'm afraid. I don't know. The only thing that we can do that really matters for eternity is to evangelize. It's to share our faith. It's to bring other people to have an eternal relationship with the Lord. And it teaches us that. And it shows what we need to do, to what we need to know to believe and be saved. So how could anything be more important than that, when you think about it, than coming to know and study God's word? So how foolish we are if we do not obey God's command to do our best to present ourselves to God as one who correctly handles the word of truth. It's foolish not to. Well, the two disciples, it says, were downcast until they came to hear and believe the word of God that Jesus explained to them. Are you downcast a lot? In other words, are your eyes a lot of times looking down on earth? Well, God's word can give us the ability to, you might say, have upcast eyes, if that's a word, you know, where we are looking up, where we see that there is this way of fitting everything that we know into this wonderful paradigm that comes out of the Bible. It helps us understand our life. It explains life for us. So we're foolish and we're slow of heart to not know what the Bible says. So again, will you do your best day in and day out to keep God's word, to keep learning God's word, to present yourself as one who correctly handles God's word? It'll create faith in you, it will build faith, and it will give you knowledge that you need to go to heaven. And it will help you share that knowledge with other people. The last division, the 11 disciples. When the assembled disciples hear this report of the women about Jesus being alive, and they hear the report of the two Emmaus disciples that Jesus is alive, they still have major doubts. Even when Jesus appears to them and showed him his hands and his feet, they were filled with joy, but they still couldn't believe it. Do you notice that curious verse at verse 41? You might take a look at that. I don't know what your version says, but it puts it in a curious way. It says, they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement. I think what it's saying is this. I think it's saying that their mind simply could not accept the fact of the resurrection until they were able to see how it fit into God's word, the scriptures. I think they were joyful that Jesus was alive with them, but they were confused and they wondered perhaps, well, how long is he going to be alive? You know, what's the significance of the fact that he's alive? You know, how do we understand the meaning of this? They needed to know how it fit into God's word. And so Jesus does that next. In verse 45 it says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And how did he do that? Goes on, by explaining how the Old Testament scriptures spoke of the suffering and the resurrection of the Messiah. He fit it all together for them. Jesus does not want them to believe that his resurrection is something that, you know, is new and novel in God's plan. You know, he wants them to see how God's word taught it all along. It had always been there. Jesus encourages their reliance on the Bible. You know, he shows them how his resurrection is taught in it so that they will believe. That's why he's doing it here. Jesus uses the Bible to open their minds to accept the resurrection, the very thing that would save them and everyone else from their sins. So my final principle is, Jesus uses God's word to cause people to believe in the resurrection. Jesus uses God's word to cause people to believe in the resurrection. Jesus uses God's word to cause people to believe in the resurrection. See, people cannot really develop true faith in the fact or the effect of the resurrection of Jesus outside of the teaching of God's word. We can't do that outside of God's word. So the women show us how our faith will be strengthened as we learn God's word, we remember it, and we see how true it is on a daily basis. We learn that from the women. The experience of the Emmaus disciples teach us that we are foolish and we are slow of heart to not study and come to know and accept God's word. To not, you know, to resist its message in any way. It gives us purpose for our lives and it tells us everything that we need to know to be saved. And then finally, the experience with the disciples shows us that Jesus uses scripture to cause people to believe in the resurrection. Jesus did that. He encourages us to rely on what the Bible says about the fact and the effect of the resurrection. All three groups needed to be workmen who were able to correctly handle the word of truth. Why? Well, because Jesus was about to send them out to do for others what he had just done for them. You know, in verses 46 and 47, he tells them that his resurrection, repentance, and forgiveness of sin would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning right there in Jerusalem. And that they would be his witnesses. Now, witnesses are people who take in the facts and then testify to them. So they would testify on his behalf. And we will see that because they are God's approved workmen, who correctly handle the word of truth, that they do a good job of that. In our next study, we'll see that, you know, that they do that for their generation and all that follow, but the command that he gave them is for us as well. You know, we are to be his witnesses to our generation. Now, every generation has to be evangelized. So we are to be his witnesses to our generation. So we are to be the workmen now who correctly handle the word of truth. We're commanded to do that. It is sinful not to do that. So will you continue to do your best to become his approved workman by continuing to study God's word as long as you're on this earth? Will you avoid being slow of heart, you know, when it comes to getting back into God's word? You know, this is going to be our last time here now in the Luke study. But I hope that you won't be slow of heart when it comes to getting back into the word. You know, in the fall here, when we get back together. If you do this, you will be blessed by your study, and you will be a blessing to others as well. So let's say a prayer, and then maybe we can talk a little bit about what kind of blessings that we all got out of the study of Luke this year. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for what it has already done in our hearts, Lord. We thank you for the years that you've given us with you in your word. And we thank you for those daily experiences that help us to see that your word is true, Lord, that we are wise to study it. We're foolish not to. And Lord, help us to always remember, too, that you do command us to study your word for two very good reasons. Lord, thank you for again, this study and this time that we've had together. In Jesus' name, amen.